This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes. And we are still in our Black and Black movies. Netflix Black and Black movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Netflix is delivering this week.
Yes.
So we are doing the 2017 Mudbound. I know it's not a major throwback, but you know, it fit in with the theme of the month. Also, I feel like a lot of the movies we've picked this month have been all set in different decades. So we've had the 20s, this is the 40s, we've had the 50s, 60s.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've been all over the place. Yeah, see, we give y'all blackness from all decades, damn it.
Yes. So I'm going to read the IMDb description of the movie Mudbound. However, this description doesn't necessarily really reflect the movie until the last 40 minutes of the movie, but Here's what IMDb says. Two men return home from World War II to work on a farm in rural Mississippi, where they struggle to deal with racism and adjusting to life after war. So the first half of the movie is really introducing all of the characters that ultimately end up in Mississippi. And
and all the, you know, and trying to maintain a living in this muddied farmland of the Delta.
Yeah, so it was directed by D. Reese. Mm-hmm. The cinematographer. I'm going to skip over to the cinematographer because she's awesome. Is Rachel Morrison. Mm-hmm. She was also on the cinematographer for Dope, one of the movies we did earlier this year, and the cinematographer for Black Panther.
Yep.
But more importantly, she was the first female cinematographer to ever be nominated for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. And then Dee Reese, Mary J. Blige was the first person, not black woman, not woman, first person to be nominated for a Oscar in a film that was directed and written by a black woman.
Right on.
And the first actor to both have a song and an acting best Oscar nomination in the same year.
Right on.
And it was Netflix's first movie to be nominated for Oscars, and the first time a streaming service had anything nominated for Oscars. So this movie was very revolutionary.
Yeah, very significant. Yeah, right on. You know.
So go find it on Netflix just because of those things.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, just watch progress. Like, if I had a camera.
I mean, representation. Yes.
Exactly.
You get all these first when you have women behind the camera and on set.
Yeah. You get. You know, cinematic breakthroughs, and you have, you know, a compelling story like Mudbound, you know. Written by, well, based off a novel by Hillary Jordan, straight out of Dallas, born in 63. She published Mudbound in 2008. And then X amount of years later, we have the movie adaptation of her book. I haven't read the novel, but I'm curious to see what was omitted and what was, you know, shortened or diluted, or I'm not sure. That's why I really want to read the book to see like what.
What's the difference between the two? Yeah. So Although the IMDb description of the movie talks about the World War II veterans, the movie really is about racism, PTSD, violence, female solidarity. I can't say that word. it is about like the struggles of being a farmer, whether you're black or white. It's about classism.
Yeah. Generational racism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, economics. I mean, take your pick. Yeah. It touches on a lot of that stuff.
And so it stars Carey Mulligan plays the white wife. Her husband's played by Jason Clark.
Yeah, I love Jason Clark.
And then you have Mary J. Blige. She plays the mom of the black family, and Rob Morgan plays the dad of the black family. Mm-hmm. And then the two characters that went off to war, Ron Sell and Jamie. So Ron Sell's played by Jason Mitchell.
Yeah.
And Jamie's played by Garrett Hedlund.
Yeah, Garrett's cool. You know what? It's funny. Like, every movie I see him in, I'm like, you know what? I need to put him in more movies. He's good. Yeah. I mean, like, even in Tron Legacy, I mean, like, the movie was okay, but he was good. He's a good actor. I need to put him in some more stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, I feel like every old school movie that deals with racism and the KKK needs to have the evil old white character. And Jonathan Banks was cast as this, and I feel like he plays a bad guy in a lot of things, and he does a fantastic job of playing just that dead-eye evil person. And that's what he does in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the dad that, you know, made no qualms or just, you know, flat out calling black people niggers, and it's like, you know, and he knows the plan. It's, he seems like a person that when he was younger, he probably hung some himself. He just seemed like that old man.
Right, not the actor.
Not Jonathan Banks himself. He's great. I'm saying, like, the character he embodies, like, it seems like he's that character probably, like, hung some in his younger days. That's how bad he was. So, yeah. So you just have, like, that person in this whole mix of of a family trying to, you know, navigate through this, you know, this racist landscape, and, you know, trying to, you know, have a common ground with, you know, the, you know, black farmers, and just trying to, you know, get the crops right, you know, just like everybody else, you know, trying to make a profit just like everybody else. They like that. But you just have, you know, the father just in the background, just constantly making stuff difficult with that old way of thinking and that super racist mindset.
He's not only racist, but he's also sexist. And so this movie is interesting because a lot of times when you have movies or TV shows, you only hear the narrator is usually only one voice. Whereas in this movie, they have four different voices to be the narrator. You have Laura McCallan, who's played by Carrie. You have Mary J. Blige, who's the other narrator. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ron Sal and Jamie are the other two narrators.
Right.
And so the story starts out, first we meet Mary J. Blige, Florence Jackson, her narrating, like, about her family, and she's sending her son off to World War II. And then we meet Carrie, or Laura McCallan, and how she met her husband and her husband's brother, who's very sexy, and he's going off to war. And then, like, we follow those families for a bit, but interspersed with those family interactions, we're getting Ronsell and Jamie's narration as well, mm-hmm. and their experiences as at war.
Yeah. And it does, you know, a very good job, you know, bouncing off of these different characters and their internal thoughts. You know, this movie reminded me of, remember A Thin Red Line, Terrence Malick's?
Yes.
It reminded me of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it definitely reminded me of that, with like you heard mostly all of the soldiers' like internal thoughts and really like monologues. It reminded me of that a little bit. I was like, oh, this is very Terrence Malick-y. Like the narrative of, you know, hearing everyone's.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into podcasts, it's a great movie to put on in the background because the narration does tell the story, and it does a great job of telling the story.
And the movie intercuts, you know, with the two sons in their different paths of combat. What's his name? The white brother.
Jeremy.
Yeah, he's the bomber, right?
He's the airplane pilot. Yeah.
Right.
And then Henry is the older brother.
Right. Yeah. And Ronsell, he's with the tank, like the tank company, so to speak. I forgot the technical name for him, but you know.
Well, he was in the Black Panther group.
Right. Yeah. And they would, you know, go through country, you know, not country, but town to town. And, you know, they take
the vision. So when General Patton was invading France, he had, it was an arrow. At the tip of the arrow of the army invading were all the black soldiers. So they were the front lines, and it was the tankers that were up there. I think it was the 761st Battalion,
mm-hmm.
also known as Black Panthers.
Mm, that's right. Wakanda fella. But
I just finished watching this movie, guys. Everything's fresh in my mind.
Also, yeah, because it's been a minute since I watched. So yeah, we definitely gonna need your total recall on this. So yeah, and while Ronsell was out there, you know, he got a little cozy with, you know, one of the town's women, as you will.
Right. Well, I feel like we talked about this a little bit last year. When we recorded A Soldier Story, in that when African-American soldiers went over to Europe, they were treated better than they were in the U.S., even though they still weren't treated all that great. And so, yes, when Ronsell was in France or Germany, he met a young woman that they fell in love and had sex and had a baby.
That Ronsell would later, you know, find out, you know, later in the story, like way later in the movie, almost in the third act of the movie, he finds out that he have a son back in Germany. And interesting, and to your point when you're saying that, it reminded me also of it's like throughout the scenes in The Five Bloods where like Viet Cong soldiers, they would drop off letters specifically for the Black American soldiers, you know, saying, hey, you know, it's clear that your government don't want you. They hate you. I don't know, like, why are you even fighting this war, you know, for a country that, you know, hangs you, you know, that, you know, put fire hoses to your head. I mean, it was just interesting, you know. It was like they knew what was going on with the Black Americans, which is kind of eerie.
Well, but it also, so on another podcast I listened to, My Favorite Murder, they actually covered the story of Eugene Bullard, who was a young man that was born, I believe, in Mississippi or Atlanta or Georgia. And his father was a French descendant and believed that, like, it was utopia in France. And so he eventually made his way to France. and was treated better there. And so like his entire childhood, he was told that he would have a better life in France. And he ended up having a slightly better life there, much better life than he would have had in the US. But a lot of this movie reminded me of that, that people on the side of the US, I mean, racism still exists, but the racism in the South, and even today with some of what we've gone through in the past 4 years is seems to be much worse.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and it's interesting, like, just to, like, keep up what you were saying, David goes to, like, black musicians. Like, Dorothy Dandridge had to go to France, right, to become, like, Dorothy Dandridge, right? Like, she was trying to be Dorothy Dandridge in America, but they're like, nah, you know. It was only when she went overseas that they're like, oh, she's amazing. And a lot of like jazz musicians like have to go to like France or any place like that to really get their propers as artists. It's just interesting that period of American history.
To continue to go down a different rabbit hole, but the CIA even used a lot of black artists to ask them to tour Europe and Africa in order to educate folks on America's superiority through music, which is sort of ironic that they were held up by our secret services around the world as the U.S. superiority, but when they come back to America, they were then treated as second-class citizens. So a very, very mixed history that we have.
Yeah, to say the least. And the scary part is there's a percentage of Americans that would like to go back to that kind of but it is what it is. Anyway,
we follow the two families and the two men that are at World War and then World War II finishes and they come home, and this is where a lot of the more like the tension starts to build. And similar to our Tuesday movie, this movie starts out very slow and the tension just continues to build throughout the movie until the ending where it's really violent. Mm-hmm. But Roncel and Jamie, because they both are recovering from or really experiencing PTSD, they recognize fellow soldiers going through something and start to bond. But a white man and a black man in the South bonding is really against the rules. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of all of this, you also have the farm. It's a cotton farm. And they're having a rainy year, which means the cotton won't grow because it grows better in really sort of arid type conditions. And so the farms, both farms are struggling at the same time.
Yeah.
And the Mississippi town doesn't like the two, a white man and a black man, our friends and bonding and everything. And so they've taken out on the black man, of course.
Yeah, pretty much.
I seriously thought he was going to be lynched. I was surprised he wasn't. But what they did was so horrible.
Yeah. I mean, just like for a human being to present a choice of mutilation. I mean, just in that is just so disturbing. I mean, it's a group of people, mind you, that's just like, yeah, like what, like you got to make that choice. Either like we gotta do something. You have to choose what. Yeah, it's
between the eye, the tongue, or
the testes. just that mindset in such a casual, matter of fact way. It's like, we're gonna do this, like with no, like without batting a guilty eye, like we're going to do something to this human being. Like, you just gotta let us know what you're gonna do.
they can't see him as a human, so exactly. They had no remorse. Up until very recently, even police reports, when you'd have a black body found, they wouldn't label it as a human. So the fact that was happening says everything about our society.
I know. Yeah. Like I say, you know, this movie takes place in the 40s. We're in 2021. Goodness.
Yeah. I mean, people that they experience this are still alive today. It wasn't that long ago.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. it's just speechless sometimes when, you know, when you think about it, like, wow.
Even though, like, lots of tough topics in here, the chemistry between Carrie Mulligan and Mary J. Blige as being two women that are running these families without actually having any control, because it's also a sexist period, was absolutely amazing. That they recognize in each other that we are mothers and women and have to take care of things without being able to have control was great. The chemistry between Jason Mitchell and Garrett Hedlund.
It's amazing.
Their chemistry was amazing. And then the actor that played Hap Jackson, who is the patriarch of the black family, Rob Morgan, he has that quiet anger that he delivered throughout the movie, which is just fantastic. I feel like this was the first movie I've seen him in, but he was in Stranger Things. He plays Officer Powell, Daredevil.
Yep.
And other things.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, he's an amazing actor. I guess, like, if you want to try to find like the connection, like you're saying, like between like Mary J. Carrie Mulligan's characters, like the commonality and the connection and the relationship between, you know, two women and mothers, right? You know, and just finding that commonality between, you know, soldiers, you know, like just the soldier experience that transcends color. Like that was their bonding mechanism, right? It's like I guess at the end of the day, like we all have a bond, and that bonding thing that transcends, you know, race. I guess with those two relationships kind of highlights that, like, if we pay attention to that more than, you know, the skin, then maybe we'll be all right. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going back to this didn't happen that long ago. Mary J. Blige, in order to get inspiration for her character, spoke to her grandmother, because her grandmother grew up in this type of world and could tell her exactly how it was. I mean, that's crazy.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, you know, like you go to your elders, you know, you get that experience. Yeah. See, and that's kind of, well, we're going to talk about we're going to get into that another Netflix series we're going to get into later on, like next week or the week after. I save my statement to when we talk about that, because there's a section in that particular series that we're going to talk about that brings up like experiences, like the black experience, and kind of pulling from, you know, black American trauma and things like that. Yeah. How to properly translate that into movie form. But that's going to be the, you know, stay tuned, guys. That's
the end of February. We will get into the Black experience on film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so our rating system is sit on the sofa, have a glass, enjoy the movie. Put on your shoes, you're on the fence, I'm not sure if I should do this or something else. Or go outside without a mask and just expose yourself to COVID.
I mean, it's a sit down, but for me, it's a sit down once. Like, I don't think I can, like, revisit this movie. It's a great movie, and everyone should see it. But for me, like, this is kind of like a one. I don't know if I can come. I don't think I can, like, fire it up and watch it again. It touched upon a lot of things, and it was great acting, and like what Jen was saying, like when people were connecting, they were connecting in this movie, and it says a lot, and it tells a lot, and it, you know, that experience down there, you know, Southern Delta at that time, you know, with soldiers and trauma and things like that. It was good. It was great. Yeah, it's a sit down. I would say it's a sit down. It's a first time sit down experience. But like I said, I probably wouldn't go back. I probably wouldn't go back to this one though.
As I mentioned on Tuesday, I tend to go for escapism movies, eye candy. This is a bit too real for me. It is an amazing movie. I mean, agreed with you. Sit on the sofa, see it once. I actually think between this and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, you could watch them more than once just because there's so much dialogue that's happening in the two of them, that you may need to watch it a second time to get all of the nuances between the characters and the story and all the details that they're going into. If you don't want to, not a big deal, but it is definitely, you need to see it at least once. Not just for the acting and the story, but also, you know, to support female and Black artist movies.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. First time when I watched it, I was thrown off a little bit because it started off with the brothers, like Barry and the dad. You don't know what was happening, and then like it was having. The front end of the movie, like the large percentage of it was telling, you know, the white story a little bit. And
you go read the IMDb description, you think it's going to be about two soldiers, and the first half is all about the wives.
That's true. But the thing is, like, how it was promoted, and when you seen the posters back then splashed all over, it was like, it was Mary J. Blige. It was, you know, Jason Mitchell. It was just like, oh man, this is like going to be just straight up Black movie. But, you know, then I see like, okay, like why is this movie got a lot, giving these white people a lot of screen time. I thought this was like a Black man. But then it just took me a second. But after I was like absorbed, I was like, okay, now I get the narrative. Okay, it's not about, okay, it took me a minute to really get like the narrative, like how this story is being told from the lens of, I'm like, okay, once I got it, then I was in. I'm like, okay, I'm right, now I'm with the movie, now I'm with you. But at first I'm like, wait a minute, why are you showing all these white people?
Agreed. Based on looking at the poster and then looking at the description, the first 10 minutes of the movie are very confusing.
Yeah. But once I get it, I'm like, okay, I get what the story is trying to tell me. So let me get into it. Yeah. And I like it. Yeah.
I'm going to make a recommendation. Don't watch this right after you watch Ma Rainey's. These aren't back-to-back movies. You need some eye candy in there. A little bit of lighthearted entertainment.
Watch Free Jack.
I watched these back to back, and I had to have a glass of wine at the end of it all.
That was too much hard Black stuff to go through. I mean, especially true.
That I was. Mean, was it, It was a bit too emotion, too many emotions. Right. I mean, yes.
And shoot, that's like four. That's 4 hours worth of hard black drama going on. Man, you really running a marathon with that one.
Yusuf, you know, any type of drama for 4 hours for me is bad, whether it's black, white, or green.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, well, I applaud you for enduring and getting out of the other side safe and unscathed. So now, but yeah, so that teach you next time. Put Free Jack in between that crazy stuff.
Yes. When Netflix goes, are you sure you want to watch this next? Listen to Netflix and take that break.
Yeah, take the break. Yeah. Yeah. Well, just watch a comedy, you know, a little palate cleanse before you get into some more heavy stiff. Yeah, guys, so there you have it. Mudbound, Netflix. Netflix got some, you know, got some stuff going down. And Nathan, that Zendaya movie just came out, right? Malcolm and something. Yeah, another Netflix movie. At per this recording, yeah, check that out too. That's a black movie also. Until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
Wear a mask. Even if you've gotten the vaccine, wear the mask.
Yes. You do not escape the mask. Peace.